யதா வஸ்துததா ஜ்ஞானம் ப்ரமாணேன விஜாயதே நாபேக்ஷதே ச யத் கிஞ்சித் கர்ம வாயுக்தி கோஷலம். ஸோ ஆச்சாரியா இஸ் ரெஃப்யூட்டிங் த பூர்வ பக்ஷி, தட் இஸ் த ஜான கர்ம சமுச்சயவாதி, த ஒன் ஹூ சேஸ் தட் வேதிக் ரிச்சுவல்ஸ் அண்ட் வேதாந்திக் ஸ்டடி மஸ்ட் பி கம்பைன்ட். அண்ட் த பூர்வ பக்ஷி செட் தட் வேதாந்திக் நாலெட் வில் பி பிரைட் இஃப் யூ பெர்ஃபார்ம் வைதிக கர்மா ரெகுலரி. கர்மா வில் இம்ப்ரூவ் த நாலெட் ஆஃப் த என்க்வயரி ஆஃப் ஆர் தி பிரமாணம் ப்ரொடியூஸ் நாலெட் த நாலெட் தட் ப்ரொடியூஸ் பை தி பிரமாணம் வேதிக் பிரமாணம். Therefore, in sannyas ashrama, sannyasi cannot get the knowledge because he doesn't do regular agnihotra and all those karmas, whereas all grahasthas, they perform some karma or the other. Therefore, they will get better knowledge, and enquiry produces better knowledge when it goes along with karma. So that is the argument, and that is the Purvapakshi's argument. And Shankaracharya says, Pramanam's capacity to reveal or produce knowledge is always the same, and the capacity cannot be enhanced or reduced because of some karma in parallel. For example, if you are listening and you are also doing some work with your hand, your listening cannot increase because you are doing some work. Perhaps it may decrease before because you are perhaps distracted. So, Pramanam always produces. So, therefore you cannot say Jnana Karma Samuchaya can give moksha or even better knowledge. And Shankaracharya gives the example of the wick covered by soot. We saw it in a lamp in the last webinar. When you adjust the wick, the flame becomes brighter because of the Ruju Karmana Karma, adjusting the action of the wick. And the Purvapakshi would say that Jnanam will be better if some adjustment actions are done during Shravana. But Acharya disagrees very vehemently. He says, Pramanam produces the same amount of knowledge. If the mind of a person is impure or unrefined, imagine, for example, there is a qualified listener and the less qualified listener. The guru gives the same teaching. Remember the Chandogya 8th chapter, if you remember, where Indra, Virochana and all went to the teacher. The teacher was the same. Among the three students, one is fully prepared, one partially prepared, and one unprepared. Each gets knowledge differently, either completely or partially or none at all. Is it because of the deficiency of the guru or the disciple? The disciple only, because even when one did not understand, the other disciple says, it is very clear, I am free, and goes. This means Pramanam's capacity is always the same, only the Pramata's capacity will vary. That is why Shankaracharya says, don't try to prepare. When we are reading the newspaper, what is the Pramanam? The words which are written. Written and spoken words are called Shabda Pramanam. Here we are talking about Eva Shabda Pramanam, Upanishad Shabda Pramanam. It is capable of giving knowledge to the prepared mind. If the knowledge doesn't take place, it only reveals the deficiency in the preparation of the mind. Pramanena, through a relevant instrument of knowledge, Jnanam Vijayate, knowledge rises. Where does it come? In the mind of the student. And what type of knowledge? Yata vastu. As the object of knowledge is, so must be the type of knowledge. Knowledge is right knowledge only when the knowledge and the fact coincide. Therefore, yata vastu tata jnana. If you have to call an object by its name, if you call it by some other name, it is there today. I don't know what is happening. As the object is, na apekshate yat kinchite. Pramanam doesn't require any other additional help to do its job. It is independently capable of doing the job. Yat kinchit, nothing else. Karmava, in the form of any karma, yukti koshalam, or your reasoning skill, all these are not required. Yukti koshalam na apekshate, not required. Therefore, what Purvapakshi says is, it is not, what he says is not acceptable. That is what Shankaracharya says. Continuing with next shloka, shloka 194. Rupa jnanam yata samyakam drittau satya bhavetthatam shruti pramane satyeva jnanam bhavati vastavam. So rupa jnanam, if I want knowledge of any particular color, then I must employ the appropriate instrument. It is not based on my choice. I have to use only the relevant, because eyes are pramanam for rupam, ears are pramanam for shabda, nose is pramanam for gandham. Pramanam prameya sambandha is the in the creation has already been laid. I cannot change it. We have no choice or capacity to alter that. That is the only pramanam. Now for atmajnanam, what is the relevant pramanam? You cannot use pratyaksha pramanam because sense organs are meant to reveal the anatma only. For atma jnanam, we require shabda pramanam. And what shabda? Not the newspaper word, not the physics or chemistry word. They all deal with anatma. Not even the karma kanda portion of the Vedas, because it deals with rituals and not atma. Therefore, the only pramanam available is Vedanta shabda pramanam. No other choice. Shankaracharya says, Vedanta Shabda Pramanam is capable of giving full knowledge. It does not require any additional assistance. Today I have some issues. So, it doesn't require any additional assistance. If the knowledge is not generated, then the problem is not with Pramanam, but with the receiving mind. Therefore, he says, Samyak Drittau Satyam. Dritti means Chakshuhu, eyes. Samyak must be in good condition. Suppose there is cataract or some other problem, then it won't work. Similarly, in the case of Shabda Pramanam also, we should know how to interpret the Pramanam properly. That is why we have a rigorous method called Upakramadi Shadlingaihi Vedantanam Tatparya Nischitaha. The six methods by which we can extract the message of the Vedas. If I don't employ appropriate method, Pramanam will not do the job. When I use the eva pramanam, the only pramanam properly, it is like using the correct eye. That is why he says, samyak drishtau satyam. That will take place even if I don't want it. When my eyes come in contact with your beautiful dress, whether I like it or not, the eyes will generate knowledge of the color of the object. Bhaveti eva. In the same way, if I have a prepared mind, if I study the eva, that pramanam in the appropriate manner, even if I don't want, knowledge helplessly takes place. That is why we say a guru is required. The guru employs the six methods: upakramo, samharo, abhyaso, apurvata, phalam, arthavada, upapatticha, lingam, tatparya, nischaye, nirnaye. This is the sloka. While interpreting the eva, if the student is qualified, it's a very, very big if. So Shankaracharya says, Shruti Pramane Sati Eva, by the mere presence of Eva Pramanam, the only Pramanam, the Shabda Pramanam, Veda Pramanam, without the help of any other additional factor, by which he means the Vaidika Karma that was required until purification of the mind. Vaidika Karma was very much relevant. Washing the plate is relevant how long? Until the plate is clean. After the plate is clean, do you continue washing or do you then proceed to eat? Similarly, wash the mind and start studying. This is Acharya's message. So, Shruti Pramane Sati Eva, by the mere Pramanam, Vastavam Jnanam Bhavati. Right, valid knowledge, unshakable knowledge, unchallengeable knowledge will be generated in the mind. Therefore, Vaidika Karma is no more relevant after purification. Shloka 195. Na karma kinchit apekshate hi rupopalabdau purushasya chakshuhu jnanam tataiva shravanadi janyam vastu prakashe nirapekshameva. So this is the consolidation of the same idea. Purushasya yat kinchit karma na apekshate. Doesn't depend upon any parallel karma. In fact, when you want to know something very important, you don't do any karma. We suspend all the karmani and we are all full of attention. If anybody tries to even touch us, we say, wait, I am listening to what happened to the cricket match perhaps, or some report from the hospital. Therefore, we don't want any additional karma. On the other hand, we suspend all the karmas. purushasya chakshuho, the eye of the human being, yatkinchit karma na apekshate, doesn't require any additional karma, with respect to rupa upalabdha. Upalabdhi means jnana. Rupa jnane, with respect to the knowledge of the color, we don't require anything other than the eye. Similarly, atma jnanam requires only pramanam of Vedanta Shabda. Therefore, he says, Shravdi jnanam, the knowledge rising out of Vedanta Shravanam, listening to the Vedantic teaching coming from a guru. That is why we say guru should have two qualifications. Should be a Shrotriya and Brahmanishta, both. Brahmanishta means he must be very clear. He is Brahman or Jiva. He should know. The teacher must not have any doubt. That is called Brahmanishta. And the teacher must have the very important qualification of Shrotriyatvam, the methodology of communicating the Shastric knowledge. Shrotriyatvam or Sampradayatvam means the method of communication. When from such a guru, the knowledge arises in the mind, it will reveal the truth of Atma or Brahman. And in that knowledge of the truth, the Paramanam doesn't require any support of any type, Vaidika Karma, Vastu Prakashe. So in revealing the reality, there is no need. The knowledge gained by Shravanam doesn't require any help in revealing the reality. If at all, we consider Mananam and Nididhyasanam, they are not meant for knowledge. They are meant for removal of doubt. If we are not convinced and we have doubts, it is a problem of the intellect. This varies from student to student. It is a problem with the teaching or the student. It is a student because different students get different types of doubts. Mananam doesn't produce the knowledge but removes the doubt. Look at the example of Kunti telling Karna that he is not the son of a charioteer. He is not Radheya but her son Kaunteya. In Mahabharata we know Karna did not know he was the son of Kunti. Listening to her, Karna received the message that he is the son of Kunti. It is a fact. And so whatever he has received is knowledge only because it tallies with fact. But when Karna listens for the first time, does he consider it knowledge? Maybe Kunti is bluffing. Karna was not with the pramana, not with knowledge also. Karna got the knowledge, but because of his own ideas and misconceptions, he could not accept the knowledge as knowledge. And so Kunti has to tell him all the old stories, the boon from Surya Deva and Karna's birth, leaving him in the box, putting him in the river, all that. Even as he listens, Karna doesn't get knowledge. He had already received the message, I am Kunti's son. But the story doesn't contribute to knowledge at all. It only removes the doubt. Similarly, Vedanta says, Shravanam gives knowledge. The student has received knowledge because it is keeping with the fact as revealed by the Pramanam, Veda Pramanam. Just like Karna, the students do not accept the knowledge as knowledge. What is the proof? If somebody asks, are you a jnani? Everybody immediately withdraws. No one wants to answer that question. Where is the problem? It is in the intellect. A jnani refuses to accept himself as a guild, has not revealed it. Everything is there, but the student refuses because of either intellectual problem or emotional problem. Intellectual problems, they are sorted out by manana. Emotional problems are to be sorted out by nididhyasana. Thus, both mananam and nididhyasanam are not meant for knowledge. Knowledge has to come from shravanam only. And if you look at the shloka, jnanam shravanadi janyam vastu prakashe, in revealing the vastu, nirapeksham eva, doesn't require vaidika karma. Shloka 196. We are all disputing now with the refuting all the claims of the Purvapakshi. Kartrutantram bhavet karma, karmatantram shubhashubham, pramapa tantram, pramana tantram vijnanam, maya tantram idam jagatam. I am watching also simultaneously the recording because there is some issue going on with that. From Shloka 177 onwards. All these discussions are consolidated here as Kartra Tantram Bhavet Karma. Any karma, whether worldly or scriptural, depends on the will of the doer alone. If he doesn't want to do, even God cannot do anything. God can tell you Satyam Vada, but cannot God cannot make me Satyam. Therefore, what I do depends on my will alone. Karma Kartru Tantram. Action depends on the doer, the agent. Karma Tantra Shubha Shubham. Shubha Shubham. All the Punyam and Papani in a person's account depends upon karma. Thank God, we don't see it. Otherwise, we would have fainted now perhaps. So many bundles are there. Karma means karma, karma palam, punyam, papam, they all depend on karma. We cannot transfer the account to anybody else. My karma will give me punya papam. Karma palam depends on karma and maya tantram idam jagade. Entire universe depends upon maya, not the will of God. God can't decide what type of creations it must be. Only maya can decide, because all the sanchita karmani, the total punya papam of all the jivas, are hidden within maya alone. When there are jivas with punya karma, we require heaven. When there are papa karmas, we require hell. And with mishra karma, mixed karma, we require human janma or bhuloka. Thus the type of world is determined by jivanam karmani, by the karmas of jivas. Instead of karma, Acharya says maya here, because all karmas are dormant in maya alone. That is why maya kalpita desha kala kalanam vaichitri chitri kritam maya tantram idam jagade. Now the series is very clear now. If you really look at it, the world depends on karmapalam, karmapalam depends on karma, karma depends on karta, and karta depends upon no one because he has his free will. Bhagavan has given free will to every jiva. So a karta has got free will. God also taught us what will give punyam and what will give papam. Neat list is given by the Lord. We have to only decide what we want to produce. Therefore, these three are interconnected. And the fourth one is pramana tantram vijnanam. Knowledge doesn't depend on maya, karma palam, karma or karta. Knowledge depends upon the pramanam that we choose. Therefore, pramana tantram vijnanam. Therefore, come to Vedanta, because Vedanta pramana gives knowledge, which in turn gives moksha. So, know how important Vedanta is. Therefore, pramana tantram vijnanam. Next, the last shloka of this section, shloka 203. Nagyana karmani nagyana karmana yor yasmatem sahayogastu yujyatem tasmat yajam prayatnenam jnanechuna adruvam. So here Acharya concludes the negation of jnana karma samuchaya vada, which started in shloka 173. Both Purvapakshi and the Siddhanti, both will say jnana karma samuchaya is required, but they disagree on whether they should be simultaneous or sequential. Purvapakshi wants it to be combined and does not recommend sannyasa ashrama at all. Purvapakshi, remain in grahastha ashrama, combine jnana and karma and get moksha. Acharya says enter grahastha ashrama, do karma, enter sannyasa ashrama, follow jnana marga and get moksha. So the ashrama should be entered sequentially. That is what Acharya's recommendation. Nowadays, the situation has changed. Vaidika karma doesn't exist at all. In Shankaracharya's vision, grahastha ashrama is relevant only for Vaidika karma. When Vaidika karma itself is not there, how can you talk about grahastha ashrama, which is meant for that? So that is the question of renouncing, because Vaidika karma itself is not there. Therefore, Shankaracharya's approach was relevant during that time. We have to re-look at the whole situation and arrive at what kind of samuchaya we have to do in current times. So we will see how Swamiji approaches this. And what Swamiji says is, this is only Swamiji's personal view, no scripture has said this, all people should start studying the Bhagavad Gita. That is his premise. We do not have to decide whether we are karma yogi or jnana yogi or where we stand. We should just start getting exposure to Bhagavad Gita, because it contains everything from karma yoga, upasana yoga, jnana yoga, values, all of them. It is like a spiritual buffet. First step is exposure to Bhagavad Gita, a systematic study. One chapter here, one chapter there doesn't work. It has to be studied consistently and systematically and progressively. And the next step is everyone should concentrate on Karma Yoga alone. People cannot directly understand Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha, all that. A beginner Bhagavad Gita student generally won't understand. If at all he or she understands, it only means he was a yoga brashta. I am using these terms, yoga brashta and all, very liberally. I have told that earlier also, what is yoga brashta and all, from Purva Janmas. So continue to study Bhagavad Gita teachings and follow Karma Yoga Pradhana life. So in the Bhagavad Gita class, Swamiji talks about four parts of Karma Yoga. He has given a formula also to remember that form. He has given this acronym, RIDE, R-I-D-E. What is Karma Yoga? RIDE. What is RIDE? R means gradual reduction of Asuri Sampat, mentioned in the 16th chapter. Asuri Sampat, they are all tendencies which are obstacles to spiritual growth. Do not bother about the rate of success. It is important to attempt. And the rate will vary from student to student, effort to effort. How sincere we are, or are we only casual students of Bhagavad Gita? And this right in the second term, I, gradual increase of Daivi Sampat. There are 26 of those values were enumerated by Lord Krishna. So abhayam sattva samshuddhihi, jnana yoga vivasthitihi, jnanam namaste yagyascha, all those things he said. So R and I are initial practice of Karma Yoga. And third one, D, is dedicating all our actions, worldly or religious actions, sakama karma, nishkama karma, our duties, or our personal activities, all of them, any blessed karma, dedicate all of them to Ishvara. Therefore, dedicate all the karmani to Ishvara and say, I am ready for any type of consequence. I have to tell God, without any hesitation, even though I have certain preferences, even though I want success only, we can even tell God that I want success. Nothing wrong in that. But after saying, I want success, we should add a clause. Even though that is my desire, I will accept whatever the consequences you choose to give me, according to the law of karma. You give me only the mental strength to accept any result that I deserve. The more important the karma is, the more important this declaration is. Dedication of all karma is called Ishvara Arpana Bhavana. Then E, in R-I-D-E, last letter E, experiencing all experiences or all situations, success and failures also. I am willing to experience failure also as prasadam of Ishvara. Ishvara prasada buddhi, we told. Ishvara arpana buddhi and Ishvara prasada buddhi, without any resistance, without complaining, without scolding the God. No crying and lamenting. Lord, why are you giving me of all the people, all these problems? Maybe the neighbor deserves it more. Certainly not me. This is called the why me syndrome. Why me should not come from the mouth of a karma yogi. If why me question comes, you have to ask, why not me? Because if other people have done good and bad actions, in what way I am different? I am also a jiva who is liable to make many mistakes, if not in this janma, maybe in the past human janma. Past animal janmas will not produce any papa. Therefore, anything yatyat bhavyam bhavato bhagavannem purva karmanu rupam. Always the hands are open. Agate swagatam kuriyat, whatever comes, welcome. Gachantam nivarayet, whatever goes, don't stop. This is called prasada bhavana. These are the four important components of karma yoga that everyone should practice. Even if one doesn't want spiritual growth, karma yoga can be practiced for peace of mind and for reducing reactions in life. Even a non-spiritual person can practice karma yoga and improve mental health. If mental health is there, physical health is also there. And if the karma yogi is a spiritual seeker, he can include in his puja jnana vairagya siddhyartham, that sankalpam also, spiritual growth along with peace of mind. Serenity and spirituality both will grow. This must be the beginning stage of spiritual sadhana for all people, while simultaneously continuing Bhagavad Gita exposure. Initially, maybe only some chapters may be interesting. Wherever hardcore Vedanta comes, people skip it because mind is not ready yet. It does not appeal to the mind.
its relevance is not known. Gradually we will find the Jnana Yoga part also is appealing. And then we even begin to feel that Bhagavad Gita does not deal with Jnana Yoga sufficiently. We need some more of the Vedantic portion. The hunger increases. Bhagavad Gita will become then an appetizer. We can gradually expose to a few Upanishads, because Upanishads are concentrated teachings of Jnana Yoga. You will find many people like Bhagavad Gita but not Upanishads, saying that mind is not ready to digest the Upanishads. As long as I don't want Upanishads perfectly, all right, no problem. Then give more attention to the chapter, Kshetrajnyan Chapi Mam Vid, pay attention. So those shloka will become more appealing and important, indicating my preparedness. Then I can go further to the Upanishad. Thus gradually, Karma Yoga Pradhana life will get converted into Jnana Yoga Pradhana life. This must be the transition. So as far as ashrama is concerned, we are in the good old ashrama, grahastha ashrama only. No ashrama change. Infrastructure may be some port reduction. I already told you about port reduction and all in the previous webinars, if possible. But the stress is from Karma Yoga Pradhana life to Jnana Yoga Pradhana life. Now if you get back, now getting back to Acharya, this is an aside point, Swamiji mentions. Now getting back to Acharya, for him it is grahastha ashrama to sannyasa ashrama. That is what he says. Jnana karmanoho saha yogaha. Coexistence is not possible for the reasons he gave. Jnana and karma cannot coexist. Jnana and karma abhasa can coexist. Tasmat, since it is not possible, karma prayatnena tadvyajyam. Renounce those rituals along with grahasthashrama itself. That is why prayatnena, with all the necessary rituals, etc., because sannyasa ashrama also includes several rituals like kashta shraddham, viraja homam, night long gayatri homa. So many mantras are there. 2 days full fledged rituals are involved. Therefore, Shankaracharya uses the word prayatnena. This is called vidivat sannyasa. So vidivat means ritualistic renunciation, formal renunciation. Karma should be connected with tyajyam, karma tyajyam, dhruvam, firmly, clearly. Dhruvam without any hesitations, firmly, one should renounce. Under what condition? Jnana ichchuna. If he is really desirous of spiritual knowledge, of course under a guru, sannyasa is given by the guru himself. In fact, after guru gives sannyasa diksha, teaching begins the same day. It is symbolically done when Sishya does Pada Puja and Guru starts with any Mahavakyam and gives the gist of Mahavakyam, because it is Vividisha Sannyasaha. Thereafter he says, he stays with the Guru and continues the journey. Shloka 208. Sanyase suviraktaha sanniha mutrata tatsukate aviraktasya sanyaso nishpalo yajya Ya Jagavate. Now Acharya concludes this topic with a warning. He talked about the sannyasa ashrama as a part of Jnana Yoga pursuit. But he gives a warning that sannyasa ashrama is only after remaining in Karma Yoga for sufficient length of time, so that one understands fully the limitations of all the worldly pleasures, entertainment, comfort, including relationships. So if a person has got even the slightest attachment, even if he has got the slightest attachment, then vairagyam is not ripe enough. Then sannyasa ashrama will become an obstacle, because the mind will desire some of the worldly things. In sannyasa ashrama, there is no provision for that. All the generally considered entertainments are not available. If his mind has a value for them, then he will be in the ashrama physically, but his mind will be looking at the worldly grahastha ashrama life. This is most important, because sannyasa ashrama is one-way traffic. There is no question of, okay, I'll go back. Grahastha ashrama is available for entry, and then sannyasa ashrama can be taken. But there is no sannyasa of sannyasa. Doesn't exist. Therefore, only the law of karma. Lord Krishna actually, he gives a warning also. Karmendriyani samyamya ye aste manasasmaran indriya arthan vimudhatma mityacharasa uchyate. Externally detached, but internally riddled. with worldly desires. This will not work. It is called double personality. Mithyacharaha, hypocrisy, which is not good for the person, the guru. So, ashrama or society or guru, it doesn't suit any of them. Therefore, Acharya says, and that is the reason also, that the guru decides whether the Shishya can be given sannyasa or not. That is why in the olden days, Shishya lived with the guru for a length of time, so that the guru saw his attitude, his behavior, speech, activities, and how he uses the spare time. Even if Shishya desires, guru has to approve. It is only through a consensus between the guru and Shishya that sannyasa is taken. Therefore, this warning is given. Iham amutrata tatsukata. From all worldly pleasures of this world as well as amutra in the other world. Because in Swargaloka, better pleasures are promised. Wonderful dance, music, all comforts. Therefore, ihasukam as well as parasukam. With respect to all these pleasures, remember which Upanishad, actually this one, if you remember the Upanishad, it is Kathopanishad, where Yamar Dharmaraja gave everything free of cost to Nachiketas. Only one condition, don't ask for jnana. But Nachiketas refused all of them and said, that I want this and this alone. Na anyam varam Nachiketas praniyate. If you remember Kathopanishad. So, this is called clarity regarding the goal. Iha mutrartha sukhat. From worldly pleasures, suviraktaha. Not ordinary detachment. Detachment is actually twofold. One, sometimes I say, I don't want because I cannot afford it. It is like the grapes are sour logic. Our vairagyam will be really challenged when things come free. We stretch our hands even without knowing what it is. Therefore, whatever comes, let it come. Let it remain in a corner. Therefore, our vairagyam will be challenged when things come to us. So, viraktaha means being detached even when available. Such a person of ripe vairagyam, sannyaset, should take to not fully detached from the world. When one has half-baked vairagyam, it is compared to a raw fruit that cannot be plucked. Even if you pluck it, there will be some sap oozing out of that. That is the tears. Therefore, there is more grief than happiness. The raw fruit is not sweet also. Whereas when it is ripe, it just falls of its own accord. There is no sap. The tree also doesn't shed tears and the fruit is ripe and sweet. So, Urvarugamiva mandanat mrityor mukshiya mamrita ata. Actually, in Rudram, you have seen the Trayambhaka Vajamaka, Mrityunjaya mantra. So, aviraktasya sannyasam, renunciation of an attached person is nishpalam, will not give the full benefit of jnanam and moksha. So, ayajya yagavat, like a yaga, Vedic ritual done by an unqualified person, ayajya. Veda says every Vedic ritual must have a qualified candidate in terms of varna and ashrama. A grahastha can do agnihotra rituals and it will produce the promised result. If a brahmachari performs the very same Agnihotram just because he loves it or because they want to purify the air, what will happen? The Vedic result will not be there. The air may get purified. During, it seems, the Bhopal tragedy, gas tragedy, there was a report that somebody was doing Agnihotram regularly and that gas did not affect that family. Thereafter, people started to do Agnihotram for air purification, forgetting its real purpose. If a brahmachari or sannyasi performs Agnihotram, no phalam. Raja, rajasuyena yajata. Rajasuya yaga can be done only by a kshatriya. Even if a brahmana is a grahastha, if he has no right to do rajasuya yaga, and even if he performs, what will be the result? No result. This is called ayajya yaga. Ayajya means unqualified person or unprescribed ritual. So, ayajya yagavate nishpalam. Here, what is nishpalam? Sannyasa is nishpalam when taken by a spiritually impure. Now we get back to the original topic of the fourfold qualification. The fourfold qualification is the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. We were dealing with third one, which has six subsidiary qualifications. You know, viveka, vairagya, and the third one is six subsidiary qualifications, samadhi, shakta, sampatti. And that we were looking at uparama, after samadhama and titiksha. Now, Shankaracharya says, the word uparama in sadhana chatushtaya sampatti refers to sannyasa ashrama. And in our language, if not external sannyasa, at least internal sannyasa. Uparama topic, we started in Shloka 152, it ended in Shloka 208. 56 shlokas in the original text. So actually in the Sarvedanta Sara Sangraha, in this book, it has so many shlokas. Continuing Shloka 210. Guru Vedanta Vakyeshom Buddhiryo Nischayatmikam Satya Mityeva Sa Shraddha Nidhanam Mukti Siddhaye. So the next topic is Shraddha, covered in 18 shlokas from 210 to 270. So Shraddha is also a very important qualification. No appropriate translation for the word Shraddha we can find out. Faith, trust, all those things are very remote approximations only, not exact translations. So the translation of Shraddha is Shraddha. Let us see the concept of Shraddha first. Shraddha is our attitude towards the scriptures, namely the Veda. All others are secondary scriptures which explain and clarify the Veda. Shraddha is our attitude towards the Veda, where we consider Veda as an independent and valid source of knowledge, which forms the basis for conducting our life. In Sanskrit, it is called Pramanya Bhavana. So in this shloka, Acharya uses the word Satyatva Bhavana, which must be understood as Pramanya Bhavana. This attitude is explained with the example of sense organs traditionally. Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, each one is an independent source, which means each one gives a knowledge which cannot be given by any other sense organs. Independent source means that alone can give the knowledge. So the ears cannot give the knowledge of Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. It is a new knowledge which cannot be given by any other means. Independent also means what one's organ reveals, the other sense organs can never prove or disprove. Similarly, Veda is an independent source of knowledge, which means Veda gives a new knowledge that cannot be given by any other source. It also gives knowledge which is useful to me. For example, if I say the star Sirius, which is about 4.5 some light years away, you will say, so what? It is of no interest to me. This knowledge doesn't benefit me in any way. Veda is not like that. It makes a value addition to our life. Veda is an independent, valid and useful source of knowledge and does not overlap. Like our sense organs, sound and forms are not overlapping areas. Each area is distinct and each sense organ deals with its own distinct area and doesn't even have access to other areas. When it doesn't have access, how can it pass a judgment on the other? I say this is orange color, for example. You say I challenge it. How do you know? I tried with my ears. Using the ears, you cannot challenge the knowledge given by eyes. Likewise, Veda gives a knowledge which is unique, which is independent, valid, and deals with an area not accessible to any of the other pramanas. Other source of knowledge have no access to the Vedic teaching. Then how can they dare to pass judgment on the Vedic or Vedantic teaching of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya? They cannot come anywhere near, nor they can pass any judgment. We should know all this when we study the Veda. Then alone our attitude will be Pramanya Buddhi in the Vedas. The attitude that it is an independent and valid source of knowledge that cannot be challenged by others. This is one part of Shraddha. And the second part of Shraddha is, suppose I see a contradiction between Vedic teaching and the knowledge derived from other sources, other pramanas, like Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana, Upamana, Agama, all of them. Then we should not question the validity of the pramana, because each pramana is valid in its own areas. We should question our understanding of the Vedas. We don't challenge the pramanam. Challenge the buddhi which can commit mistakes in understanding. So question the understanding and revise either through independent study or with the help of a guru, which is called mananam. So in the Brahma Sutra, there is an exclusive chapter called Avirodha Adhyaya that is designed for that only. Avirodha Adhyaya, no contradiction between Veda Pramana and Anya Pramanas. If there is a contradiction I challenge my understanding, I re-look at the scriptures and get a revised understanding. The question, is this revised understanding contradicting? If it is, revise again and again until I get the message clearly. Until I find absolutely no contradiction whatsoever among other pramanas and the Veda pramana. So, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, Jeevo Brahma Ivanaparaha does not contradict any pramanam. I should understand this is the second part of Shraddha. So, don't challenge the pramanam, challenge your understanding. First, accept Veda as an independent and valid source. Second is, don't challenge the Veda, but challenge your understanding. This bhavana is called Shraddha. So, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnana. The eyes, ears, nose, or each primary pramanam. Each primary pramanam has its own area and what it reveals is taken as the final knowledge. I don't use any other primary pramanam to verify the primary pramanam. And secondary pramanam can be proved or disproved by pramanam. Shabda includes written and spoken words as a source of knowledge. An instrument of knowledge like, you know, a newspaper where we get a lot of information from. So, is Shabda Pramanam a primary or secondary source? In Sanskrit, Upajivya Pramana or Upajivi Pramana. Tradition says, words are of two types. Can be secondary or primary. Words are secondary when a person is reporting in the newspaper. While those words surely give knowledge, we got the knowledge from another person or from his own sensory perception. All newspaper reports are based on Pratyaksha Pramanam. And so, they come under secondary only. That is why there is contradiction also. Remember, all words written by humans are called Laukika Shabda Pramana. This is knowledge collected from another source of knowledge and transferred through written words. These words are not the products of knowledge, producers of knowledge. They are only carriers of knowledge which has already been generated by Pratyaksha Pramana. Newton's law of motion, for example, gravitational law. Newton got it only by observation and study. Then it came to the notebook. We got it by heart and poured out and got marks also. We never made any calculations ourselves. Are our physics books primary or secondary? They are all secondary only. Whereas Veda does not talk about things which are available for sensory perceptions, but about ultimate Atindriya Vishayas, the very Atma itself. Since Vedas and Rishis talk about Atma, which is Atindriya Vishayam, I cannot say some reporter saw the Atma and reported that Atma. Atma is Nityam, Shuddham, Buddham and all he reported. Therefore, remember, Atindriya Vishayam that Veda gives is not a secondary knowledge derived through other instruments of knowledge. Veda gives primary knowledge like the sense organs, Pratyaksham. Therefore, Laukika Shabda is secondary and not as great as sense organs, but Vaidika Shabda is primary and on par with Pratyaksha Pramana. This is one thing important we have to understand in Vedas. And in Brahma Sutra also, Vyasacharya uses the word Pratyaksham for Veda to indicate it is primary knowledge. What Veda reveals, you have no way of verifying through other instruments because they are not accessible to other instruments. We only have to make sure that we extract the right message from the Vedas. Since Veda is in the form of words, we have to know what the central message of Vedas is. Our effort is not to verify the Veda, but to understand the message of the Veda properly. That is why we have the methods Upakrama, Upasamhara, Shad Tatparya Lingani, all of them, Shad Lingas, finding out the central message of the Vedas. Otherwise, a person will take one sentence from the Veda. Sava esha purusho nara samayaha. He will take. And Veda says, body is Atma. And Veda is Pramana. Atma pranamayaha. So we have to study the entire Veda. See the beginning, the end, the benefit. We have to use six methods to extract all the Shadlingas to extract the message. Once we extract the message, it is the knowledge which cannot be verified by other instruments. Because what Veda reveals is not accessible to other means of knowledge, other instruments. So once we extract the message. The first rule is to study the whole Veda or the whole Upanishad to extract the message. Never take portions and conclude. We have to extract the proper message, which is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha. How much effort our acharyas has to put to extract this? Second rule is, a primary pramanam will never contradict another primary pramanam. If it contradicts, then the other primary pramanani will be falsified and will no longer be considered primary pramanam. So when we extract the message from the Vedas, we make sure that it doesn't contradict other pramanas. Of course, other pramanas can't prove the Vedic message because they don't have access. We only make sure that it doesn't contradict others. Extracting the message is called Shravana. Making sure that it does not contradict other pramanas is called Manana. It is a reconciliation process. In law, only one law has to be reconciled with another law when two laws overlap same area. That is why experts are required. This is called reconciliation. Through Shravanam and Mananam, we have to get this knowledge that Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithyam, Jivo, Brahma Ivanaparaha. That we have to. A message uniquely given by the Veda and never contradicted by any other Pramanas, including modern science also. Modern science also is not capable of and doesn't contradict what the Veda reveals also. So Veda reveals what science doesn't reveal and what is not contradicted by science. Therefore, Veda is approached as primary pramanam, upajivya pramanam, as today's recording is going to be lousy. Now, because we already have it to our sense organs, we simply need to transfer that attitude to Veda. When we study Veda, with what bhavana it is called? That is called Mimamsa actually. Pujida Vicharaha Mimamsa. This is different from enquiry. Vichara into other books. So, Laukika Shabda, which is secondary source. The enquiry into Veda carries lot of reverence. It is the source of knowledge. Vedanta Vakyam, which will lead me to the ultimate goal of liberation. That is why in tradition, before studying the Veda, Upanishads and all Brahma Sutras, all of them, they take the book actually to a temple, perform puja there in front of the Lord. Then it is brought to the lecture hall. Pada puja is done to the guru because he is going to help me extracting the message and also reconcile with other pramanas. Therefore, the guru becomes as important as the Shastra itself. If that bhakti bhavana and shraddha bhavana is there, shraddhavan labhate jnanam mokshancha. So it is a doubtless truth experienced by every traditional acharya. And tradition says you also have the same attitude and study. See whether moksha will come or not, it will definitely bless you. Therefore, Guru Vedanta Vakyeshu is not like newspaper words. In the words of Shastra and the Guru, Ya Nishchayatmika Buddhihi, the firm conviction that it is Satyam, primary source of knowledge, Upajivya Pramana, like the sense organs, not like inference or Laukika Shabdaha, Satyam, within inverted commas. This bhavana is called Shraddha. Acharya says, this Shraddha is the fundamental cause for liberation. Nidanam, Karana, Mukti Siddhaye, for claiming liberation here and now. Otherwise, I will never be able to claim liberation. I will take it as some statement of somebody. I will have only a casual attitude. Shraddha vadameva satampu marthaham samiritasiddhyati netaresham uktam susukmam paramartha tattvam shraddha somyeti cha bhakti devaham. Shloka 211. So verses 210 to 14 is Shraddha topic. Here also he restates the same thing. Pumartaha siddhyati. Pumartaha means purushartha, the fourth moksha purushartha. Samiritaha means promised by Veda. So Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. Brahmavit apunovati param. Abhayam pratishtam vintade. So all those things we know. So that moksha is promised by Veda. That promised purushartha, moksha purushartha is called samiritaha, means promised. Siddhyati will come definitely. For whom? Satam, noble people, punyavan. Lot of punyam is required to develop shraddha in Veda. First advantage is one is to be born in a culture and family where the parents and grandparents already have that bhavana. In that environment, the child unknowingly gets this. when I keep a rose in my hand for some time, then my hand also smells like the rose. Similarly, when we are surrounded by astika janaha, who have got shraddha, we will also develop the same feelings. The word astika means we all belong to a group which looks at the Veda reverentially as valid and for our own well-being. By discarding or ignoring the Veda, Veda is not the loser, God is not the loser, Rishayaha are not the losers, we are going to be the losers. Therefore, have Shraddha in the Veda. There is a Shraddha Suktam, in which Shraddha is personified as Shraddha Devi, and knowledge is personified as Vedanta Devi. So Brahmachari prays to Shraddha Devi, give me that attitude, because modern society dismisses all these things as superstition. Not shaken by that and continuing to have Shraddha requires lot of Punyam. Satam, Punyamatam, because they have Shraddha. Pumartaha Siddhyati, Purushartaha will come. Now Veda wants, na itaresham, not for others, because they will ask for proof for the Veda. When it is primary pramanam, no proof should be asked. We cannot give proof because Veda deals with an area that does not fall within the other pramanas. Therefore, itaresham, for other people, moksha is never possible. This Shraddha is important because uktam paramartha tattvam susukshmam. Uktam param, that means what? The truth revealed in the Veda is extremely subtle, susukshmam, and not available for objectification because it is not an object. Why is it not an object? Because it is a very subject. Being the subject, I cannot experience Brahman one day in meditation, where Brahman will come. He will smile and go. I can never do that. It is our Brahma. Brahman is not to be experienced as an object, but has to be claimed as the subject. Therefore, paramartha tattvam uktam susukshmam. Extremely subtle means nirguna. So, use the Veda as a mirror to look at your own real nature. And the fourth line, Vedahacha Vakti. The Veda itself declares Shraddhasva Somya. Veda is addressing every student as A Somya, O pleasing one. Shraddhasva, may you look upon the Veda as a valid means of knowledge. We have seen this actually, Shraddhasva Somya mantra also in Chandogya Upanishad in the 6th chapter. Tasmat Shraddhasam Susampadhyam Guru Vedanta Vakyayoho Mumukshu Shraddhadhanasya Phalam Siddhyati Nanyatam. Tasmat Shraddha is crucial to decide whether Vedic knowledge is a knowledge or hypothesis. I don't take as casual information a fact revealed by the Veda. Shraddha, my translation is what? Veda validity attitude, the attitude, that is Shraddha. Susampadhya, you should acquire that, and that too it should be deep Shraddha, not a superficial or a casual one. Acharya doesn't say how to develop that, but he insists that should be like this. He only says develop it. That is why in our tradition, created many physical external exercises to develop Shraddha, which is an internal attitude. That is what we see in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadvittim pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Namaskara is one method of developing faith. That is why as children we are told to do namaskara to gods, to mahatmas, to seniors, to scriptures, elders. Namaskara is a physical action which can gradually bring about transformation in the mind. Pariprashnena, when you ask the question, ask with humility and reverence. It is not a prashna, it is pariprashna. Sevaya, service like. Pada puja, etc. are all for developing Shraddha towards the Guru. Actually, in the 13th chapter, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Arjavam, Acharya, Upasana, Upasana of Acharya, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo, Maheshwaraha, all these Guru Stotram, Guru Seva, they are all to develop reverence towards the Guru and also towards the words of the Guru. A person, you know, brought up in a traditional family would have already developed a Shraddha because he already does regular puja, sandhyavandanam and all that he does. He follows a Vedic way of life because of his faith in the Vedas. Suppose one is not brought up in that environment traditionally, then what happens? First he has to develop Shraddha towards Guru by service, puja and all that. then he finds the guru himself has got reverence for the Shastra, because whatever he says, he collects it from Veda. The Shishya also begins to imitate the guru's attitude towards the Veda. He should either get it before coming to Vedanta, or he should get it after coming to Vedanta by observing the Acharya. Vedanta Puja is there in our tradition. During Vedanta Puja, we worship all books including the Vedas. Human knowledge gets revised every now and then. But no need for revision of Vedic teaching even after thousands of years. Therefore, human knowledge, it is valid. Therefore, Mumukshoho, a seeker of moksha, has to develop Shraddha. Susampadya Guru Vedanta Vakyayoho. In the words of Vedanta and Guru, if one is a seeker of moksha, then phalam siddhyati. The first sentence is complete. In first line, tasmati Guru Vedanta Vakyayoho Shraddha Susampadya. And the next sentence, Mumukshoho Shraddha Danasya. A seeker of moksha who has got Shraddha in the Veda, phalam siddhyati, gets benefit in the form of jnanam and moksha definitely. Na anyata, not otherwise. It is a statutory warning that the Acharya gives here. We'll stop here today and continue in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratityataha tasya prakriti linasya parasamaheshwara Sri Krishna arpanamastu narayana.